I grew up in a household that my dad owns a business. So my whole entire life, I saw dad in business. That's all I knew. So he really inspired me to want to get into business. I always wanted to be a business owner. Millennium Communications is a public relations agency, and we specialize in a couple of different areas. So hospitality has recently become a huge focus for us. And then we dabble into some lifestyle brands as well.
Your business is very representative of who you are. Yes. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Look, I'm emotionally driven. I'm a very emotionally driven person. Very big believer that self-improvement is a never-ending process because you change so much and then new things pop up. The narrative that used to play out was very much like, I never felt like I was good enough. It was very much comparing myself to other people. What I really had to work on was changing narratives that I was telling myself, healing parts of myself, connecting with my youth and some of the things that I experienced in my youth and healing that. And so for me, it's really important for me to work with people or brands that I love and have a real big interest in. So you're not just getting a publicist, you're also getting somebody who has a very unique creative thought process, and I'm not afraid to bring it to the table because I'd rather you say no to my idea and saying you're nuts or than me not bringing anything at all.
Cass.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Mate, I'm pretty good. It's for anyone who doesn't know, this recording's happening on a Friday.
Yeah.
It's been a big week.
Yes. Friday, fun day, right?
Yeah. So, well, fun day. Well, hopefully it's a fun podcast.
I'm sure it will be. There's no doubt. We've already had good chats anyway. Like, it's only just going to get better from here.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. So, you're a bit of a superstar in the PR world. And I think this discussion will be interesting for a few reasons. One is your practice or your firm is well developed now, very successful and still growing, but on a great journey, and we'll talk specifically about that. And I think you and your own leadership development journey in that is also pretty cool. But the other side to it, you know, for a lot of our listeners, they are entrepreneurs, they are business leaders, you know, the idea of the brand broadly, PR, personal brand, all of that sort of stuff. You know, we could probably find ourselves in that rabbit hole at some point. But, yeah. You know, I don't know where we're going to go, but what I do know is it will be interesting because you've got plenty to play with.
Oh, there's so much. I feel like we're going to go down like so many rabbit holes here. It'll be fun. At least everyone will be engaged. We'll start in one place and end up somewhere else before you know it.
Yeah, it could feel a bit bipolar sometimes with these. Like we go all over the place, but we'll do it. Yeah. So maybe just for anyone who doesn't know you, Millennium, can you take us through what the practice is, where you focus, and I guess a little bit of context on how it all works?
Yeah, for sure. So Millennium Communications is a public relations agency, and we specialize in a couple of different areas. So hospitality has recently become a huge focus for us. And then we dabble into some lifestyle brands as well, like beauty. I'm currently working with like a car customization company. And then we also do founder profiling. So if you're a founder of a company, we'll do your profiling, thought leadership, build out your personal brand within the media and build some credibility behind your brand.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. All right. So that's the starting point, right?
The elevator pitch.
That's the elevator pitch. It hasn't all been, you know, smooth, like any business growth journey. But I don't want to go there. I want to go a little bit further into your thought process. So you talked to me a bit about why hospitality and lifestyle was sort of where you are now.
Yeah.
And this is your business is very representative of who you are. Yes. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so I'm emotionally driven. I'm a very emotionally driven person. So for me, it's really important for me to work with people or brands that I love and have a real big interest in. It's either the case that I consume it or use it and I know it. So I'm like able to go, yep, cool. I understand this. I can work with you easily. Or it's a case of there is like something there that intrigues me and interests me. And I'm like, oh, this could be the challenging or I could learn something from this. Or my creative process is just going completely wild. And I'm like, okay, like if this is happening, I have to work with this because I'm Like I'm getting.
I'm fired up.
Yeah, you know it happens when I'm pulling faces, or I'm like, oh yeah, that. Oh yeah, that would work too. Or oh yeah, that happens. Okay, maybe that could work. And for me, it's just so important because I need to. Well, it's not even so much a need. I want to work with brands that and things that I love and use in my everyday life because it means that I know it. I understand the process. I understand how people like me will consume it and build a relationship with the brand. So it's just so important for me in that way. Because if I don't, I'm going to be in unknown territory and I'm not a specialist in it. So I'm either going to be setting myself up for failure and that's just not going to be great for me and my team especially, or I have to spend time really learning and being involved with the brand. And there's a bit of a process there. And sometimes I will do that. Like, if I feel like there's that challenge on the other end, but otherwise it's very rare, very, very rare.
Okay. So you feel like you can step change straight into my role with you as a client because I know you, because I get it, because I've consumed it, because you're part of my work and I'm really passionate about it and it gets me lit up. And okay, cool. And from a client's point of view, I'd imagine they quite like that.
I hope so. I mean,
What do you think? What happens with your clients? What do they experience when they experience Cass and the team?
Yeah, so to be honest, one thing that really I believe sets us apart is the fact that I'm highly involved with all my clients. I don't just sign them up, disappear and go, here's your account manager, like bye. I'm very, very involved with them and building the relationships with them, mostly because I have this belief like I like to treat people the way that like I would want to be treated. So I have a very high communication standard with them. Most of the time, like I've had clients sometimes say to me, like, can you stop emailing and messaging? Like, we'll get back to you like when we can. And I'm like, okay, but like, can you just get to it? But it's very much close. It's tight knit. And like I said before, when we're going into meetings, I always try to come in and having that creative edge where it's like, okay, well, can we do an activation? I saw this on TikTok. Can we apply this to your brand somehow? This is trending overseas. How can we integrate this into your, you know, media, like into your brand somehow to gain media or to even just gain social attention? So it's very much so you're not just getting a publicist or someone who's also a business owner working with them. So I get it. You're also getting somebody who has a very unique creative thought process. And I'm not afraid to bring it to the table because I'd rather you say no to my idea and saying you're nuts or than me not bringing anything at all and we just run out of things to talk about.
Okay. So it's because it's an interesting industry for me.
Yeah. Right?
You know, I look at the tangibility, the result, the relationship to outcomes with a lot of our clients. And, you know, at times PR or social and the brand side just doesn't feel for them like it's going to actually move the needle. Sometimes it actually does. It's the complete opposite and they're really attached to it. So, you know, for some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with this world, you know, what starts to happen when you think about measuring the impact of your work and having that conversation with a business owner and a client?
Yeah, look, it's really different with everybody because it really comes back down to their goals and what their goal is with PR. With some of my clients, it's purely just every month being in the media and being top of mind so people just see them all the time so that they're always a choice in their mind. For others, it's they have like a media goal and they want to be featured in something specific and I have to work my way into building out that strategy to get there or identifying the right journalists and either leveraging relationships that I have already or going out and building relationships with the right journalists to get that connection. For others, it can involve sales. Like I've had clients who have been in Daily Mail or news.com.au and, you know, overnight they've gained $20,000 worth of sales or sold out. And like I've had one client go on Sunrise and, you know, they sold $18,000 or something like that in a couple of hours. So it's the impact is very different, at least with my clients. And majority of the time, it usually turns over into either bums on seats or it helps and supports their customer journey process. It gets people through the door quicker because a Google search can be very powerful. Or alternatively, it could just be a case they just know that they're constantly being top of mind And that's so important for them.
So all of those things, you know, obviously you're going to set those goals together and plan it all out. Where do you find they're most challenged in this process? So you talked a bit about you being a creative powerhouse, and I'm sure there's a lot of value in that. But where do you think, or what's the common theme you see for your clients?
I don't know how to do PR. What is PR? How do I get in the media? I've tried it. Didn't work. I didn't get any journalists write back to me. It's pretty much a lot of those things. I've had some unique cases where it's like someone's come to me and they've been like, it was a founder and they were like, I'm trying to get in with this company. But when they Googled me, they saw no articles and they told me they were like, there's not enough credibility around my name, even though I've been doing this for X, Y, and Z. So in some cases it's like a sales problem there and they're educated on what PR is, but they need that support, but they just don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So they tend to be like the biggest things that people come to me with, or I'm interested in exploring it, but I don't know how to do it for my brand. Can you tell me, or what should I, put some suggestions forward on what I should be doing for my brand.
So there's some big gaps in terms of their knowledge.
Correct.
They don't come to you preloaded. Here's the strategy. We need you to execute on it. It's really developed together.
Yeah, some of them do. Sometimes I have like the odd, like if I'm working specifically with a marketing manager, they'll have it, or they've worked with PR agencies in the past, so they kind of have an idea about it and it's just kind of like taking that and building it out or seeing how it goes. But there is a lot of like lack of education around it, and there's a lot of like, I think there's a lot of stigma as well, where it's people have used PR in the past, they've been burnt by agencies before or nothing's come from it, and there's lack of education in that department as well. And secondary to that, it's also a case of people, I think, seeing it, it's not always a monetary return of investment. So there's a lot of education there that needs to be done about that piece as well. In some cases it can be, but it's not a guaranteed, it's more building different kinds of ROI, which is trust, credibility, being featured in magazines, or even getting opportunities that you may not necessarily get when you don't work with a publicist or a PR team.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, and the depending on the client you have, I'd imagine their relationship with that would be different. So their trust in that is different, and their appreciation for what credibility does
Correct.
Or does not do. It's different. Great. So I talk about that because there's a lot of people that no doubt are just like your clients listening, going, oh, you know, I hear about it, I've tried it, I haven't tried it, whatever. But part of this story is your story, right? And I kind of want to shift gears. And so you run this agency, you've built it over time. You've got lots of clients, you've won awards, there's all sorts of things that you've achieved. And you should be very proud of that. When you think about yourself as an entrepreneur, what's driven you to make it what it is today?
Look, there are a couple of different answers to that. I grew up in a household that my dad owns a business. So my whole entire life I saw dad in business. So I kind of, that's all I knew. Like I saw him going to meetings. I used to go to some meetings with him. So he really inspired me to want to get into business. I always wanted to be a business owner. I started my first business when I was like 12. So it was always something that came naturally to me, and I wasn't a very good employee when I was an employee. So I was still trying to wear like the boss pants. So like it's all I know. And in conjunction with that, it's also being able to build something from scratch. It comes with self-belief. It comes with drive. And for me, it's very much being able to go, well, I'm able to create something and help people to create something as well with what I do, or at least leave a mark in the world or help them achieve their goals. So for me, that's what really drives me. It's very much focused on the fact that it also comes with a lot of personal development. You learn a lot about yourself when you're in the game. And I've evolved so much in this. So I always get curious to see, well, what's going to happen in the next year or 6 months? What am I going to be like as a leader or as a business owner, or even like with the clients that I get? how will my interests change? Because for all I know, like I might end up having something left of wing or right of wing next in the next 6 months that I never thought would actually spark my curiosity. So I feel like that's what really drives me. And as I get older, a lot of it's also being able to be like, look, if I ever have kids one day, if I'm lucky enough to have them, being able to be a mum and being able to pick and choose when I can show up. So right now, a big thing for me is like building out a team that I can lean on. So whenever that stage of my life does happen, I have the right systems in place so I can be there for a kid's, like what if for one of my kids' soccer games or teacher interviews or something like that. I can have that flexibility, hopefully anyway. Enjoy.
Well, it's very achievable. Other people have achieved it.
Other people do it.
And this is something that I always discuss in this podcast and also just generally in our work. It's like, it's not impossible. No. It's a case of, you know, an evolution.
Correct.
You talked about that evolution in some respects, you know, self-belief, being curious about opportunity. What are some big milestones of change that you've been through that have sort of shaken up the way you've thought about things, whether it's in the last little while? What are some things, situations that you found yourself changing your perspective that's been better for you now?
So many. If I was to look at the last 5 years, there'd be a few. So the first one would definitely be COVID. Prior to COVID, I was very young. I'm going to say 24 at the time, 24, 25. I was still very young in business and I had a great thing going for me. I was throwing events every week. I was amongst the influencer and like celebrity life and working with some really great brands. And I thought at the time that was what I wanted. And I thought I had this great business and then solid, I had a team and blah, blah, blah. Like what I thought was every checkbox come COVID that really like decided to throw a spanner in the works, but in a very good way, hard, very hard period. But it completely changed my outlook on my business and my lifestyle. It was the most unhealthiest I had been. I had the poorest mindset now that I look back at it. I didn't have a business that was stable at all. Like I thought it was at the time, but it didn't have structure or organization or any organization through it. So when COVID came and I pretty much lost all my clients in a matter of a day. I had a couple there for social media work. It really highlighted to me that it wasn't what I thought it was. My ego got crushed. I was very different, very different Cassandra, like massive, not Cass. I'm not the same person that I was. And my mentor reminds me of that. And I really I froze for that first lockdown. I didn't know what to do. But towards the end of it, when I started working with my mentor during that lockdown, I was able to fix my mindset, get my mindset right, start working on and really thinking about what it is that I wanted. And come just before the second lockdown, I had a business that had great clients. I managed to survive the second lockdown. I had staff that I was still able to retain. And if anything, we came out of the second lockdown till now stronger than what we were. And it was a contribution of a couple of things. The first one being my mindset, but the second one was also getting a mentor and not being afraid to ask for help. And ever since then, things have changed. And then my personal development in terms of the changes for that has only grown. Like during the lockdowns as well, I was in a very, very, very toxic relationship and it was sucking the life out of me. I wasn't able to perform. I wasn't the person I wanted to be. And as a result, when we broke up, I knew I needed to fix myself, or not so much fix myself, but improve myself and change areas of my life that needed to be fixed to be the person that I wanted to be and show up as every day. And I managed to find a really, really great healer, alternative kind of therapist. And until today, I work with her and she has sculpted me, molded me and healed me in ways that have allowed me to show up as the person that I am today.
It's amazing. It's so common to see how those painful periods blossom into new beginnings. if I can be more specific or to help people get in your head a little bit more, when you talk about your mindset, can you share the narrative of the story in your head and maybe how that's changed, maybe some of the specific things that are really moved when you talk about being reshaped? What's that look like?
It's still a massive work in progress. I'm a very big believer that self-improvement is a never-ending process because you change so much and then new things pop up. But the narrative that used to play out was very much like I never felt like I was good enough. It was very much comparing myself to other people. I wasn't a nice person. I was very victim mindset, and it really came back down to lack of self-worth and lack of taking responsibility for myself. I was expecting a lot of other people to take responsibility for me, and that's not how life works. So what I really had to work on was changing narratives that I was telling myself. It came with healing parts of myself, connecting with my youth and some of the things that I experienced in my youth and healing that part of myself. It came with also actually being by myself and taking time out for myself and giving myself the love that I needed and building a relationship with me. I dated myself for a little bit, as random as it might sound, but I did. So I had to get to know myself, to know what I really wanted. What do I want my life to look like? Setting personal boundaries, discipline, understanding how I want to operate as a person and building routines around that. And till today, it's the best thing that I ever did, you know, inner child healing, all that kind of stuff, because I've been able to heal parts of me that were sabotaging me. And now I'm able to show up in a way where, hey, I'm happy with who I am. I'm cool with who I am. I know who I am. I know how to give myself what it is that I need. I don't expect anybody else to give me anything. I expect myself to fill up my own cup. I take responsibility for myself and my life. If I want something, it's not up to anybody else. It's up to me. If I need help, though, I'll ask the right people for help, or I'll look for the help. And I lean on that. And as a result of it, things have changed exponentially in my life: relationships, friendships, business. The rooms that I walk into, how I walk into a room, the way I dress, the way I treat myself, everything in between. And as a result of that, I'm also a better leader. I'm a better business owner because of that.
I was hoping you would say that, because I was actually starting to join the dots, and I was thinking to myself, your people would be noticing that.
Yeah.
What do they notice in you? And I'm not sure if you have the same friends or the same staff or the same, there's usually people that have gone on this journey with you and seen the before and after.
Yeah.
What would they say about you now as a leader that's different?
It's even just, to be honest, I show up as myself in all areas of my life. I just have different energy levels at different times for them. So I try to be quite consistent. Obviously, like, I'm not telling my parents what to do or anything like that, or like whatever, but God forbid if I did. But I try to be very consistent. And to be honest, I didn't start noticing the change or feeling the change until about 6 months into my journey. And I had people saying, like, your vibe is different, your aura is different, or you seem more motivated and more switched on, or like, I actually follow through with things now when I set that intention. But another part of it's funny is I used to always be a yes person. And I've had like a friend of mine recently say to me, because I don't go out all the time. I'm very much like a homebody. I'm a massive introvert. And she's like, you don't go anywhere. Like, you used to go everywhere and now you don't. And I'm like, yeah, because I have boundaries now and I'm very careful with where my energy goes, because I'm always on the computer or talking to people. But I need to take care of myself now to make sure everybody else is being taken care of as well. So I'm completely different. Everyone tells me all the time, like, I've had a friend, actually one of my good friends, a few weeks ago say to me, like, you're who I want to be in 12 months from now. And that shocked me, because I'm like, oh, okay, that's a first. Never heard that before. Why? You do, you're motivated, you stay in your lane, you've done the healing, you show up, you've got a great relationship now, it's like ticking the boxes. And I'm like, cool, but just know I'm still on my journey. I'm not done yet. Don't look at me as this, because I'm not that. I'm still a work in progress.
Well, that's a humble thing to say, and maybe it comes from that previous experience of ticking the boxes.
Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, it's all just helped me become a better leader. And I'm nicer. I can say that. I'm nicer. I'm more relaxed. I'm more chilled. And it's more inspiring to be around, I think, because when I speak more genuinely now because it's aligned, not out of big talk and not following through.
I get it. There's also the other side when you're younger where you are trying to work things out as well. And I'd imagine when you're working things out, particularly in the game you're in, relationships are important, the ability to connect with some of these key contacts. You know, you're in the media game, right? Yeah. You know, I would imagine they might have seen a change in you as well. Like, you know, what did you feel? How do you maintain a relationship when you're a different person from a client perspective or from a contact perspective in your game?
To be honest, like, that's actually a really good question because I'm still the same person who cares. I have empathy. Like, it's consistent in ways, but some contacts have fallen off and then others have been built. So it's funny, a part of this evolution is like, I've got some clients that are still around and some that are not. And like, I've got a completely different level of clientele as well. I learn from them as well. In terms of the media relationships, to be honest, I'll say like, I try to be the same person. I've always still tried to be very empathetic and I'm sympathize and listen. And it's the basic foundations of a relationship: trust, make the time for somebody. And, you know, it hasn't necessarily changed in terms of those relationships. It mostly instead has just allowed for new conversations to happen where we can connect. And if anything, that helps because they see a new and different version of me that they may have not seen before, when I might have been a little bit more cold and a little bit more egotistic. These days it's more like it's real. Like, we talk, we know what's happening in each other's lives.
The guard's down.
Yeah. And it's just easy, whether that's over email or Instagram or face-to-face. Like, it's just it's a connection. Yeah. So some clients have fallen off because I've grown and like maybe my interests have changed as well, or we just not aligned anymore. My self-worth might have changed as well. And, you know, my retainers and my prices reflect that too. But in ways, it's just, there are some there that I love working with that I'm like, you're not going anywhere. You're staying with me.
I've locked you in.
You're locked in. You're coming along with the ride.
I love it. Look, I can empathize with that journey. A lot of people, including myself, the circles change. You know, they change and what you put out in the world changes. You know, I used to have a perspective on some old relationships in business that they were using me. And it felt super almost like I'm having a lunch here because you want to get something out of me. And I would almost do that because I thought, well, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
That's what it means to be in business, and that's what it means to have, you know, business relationships.
Yeah.
But you learn pretty quickly that this doesn't have to be that way if you don't want it to be that way.
Correct. There's always choice, the power of choice. But it's also, I think, like what we are told, like from the beginning, like what is the right thing to do? Like, it's, you need to do all of this stuff for free, or you should tap that person's back and give them a discount because they might open doors for you. But the key word there is might.
Might, yeah.
You know, you still got bills to pay and things, staff to pay or whatever, right? Like, there are things that need to be paid, and there's always a choice in everything. As long as you're willing to take responsibility of the outcome, that's a big thing. But, you know, it doesn't always have to be what somebody else's way went doesn't necessarily have to be how your way goes.
You talked about self-belief before, and you come across as a confident person, well-spoken, articulate. You hold yourself really well. Where was there a lack of self-belief, and what's different?
I still fall into the trap. Comparison is like something that used to kill me a lot. I used to look at other people, their lives and everything, and compare myself to them. Therefore, you know, you question yourself, why aren't you at where they're at and everything like that. And look, don't get me wrong, like I'm going to be 30 this year and I'm starting to question, do fall into that kind of rabbit hole as well as I creep closer to friends getting married, having babies and blah, blah, blah. Different story in itself. But, you know, I also do have really bad anxiety. I suffer with really bad anxiety, and that also can spiral me in ways to shake my self-belief. But ultimately, it comes back down to grounding myself and reconnecting with myself and trying to get back to that equal level with my emotions and my logic and controlling it. And it's hard. You have to be super self-aware, and I can sometimes carry on for days where I'm overthinking or spiraling, or like my self-belief is at an ultimate zero. But that's where Kylie comes in, my best, my love, my everything. I go to her for everything. And if I need to kick up the ass, I know who to go to. Kylie will kick me up the ass, healing, therapy, the whole thing. Or I have some tools, and I use my tools to be able to bring myself back up, whether it's like meditating, journaling. Sometimes it's as simple as being so burnt out and tired that I just need a day to myself to recharge. And I have what I call as a potato day, and I do nothing for a day. And after I recharge and sit with my emotions and get really real with what the core root of that problem is, I can then go, oop, okay, I'm back. I've reflected. I know what that problem was. I took the time to understand it, feel it, and know it. What am I going to do about it now?
If I was to look at you as an outsider during those phases, This might be just something I'm interpreting, but I would imagine on the outside you look like you're just still chugging away, getting everything's done. Is that what it looks like to everyone else on the outside, that you're getting it done?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I mean, like even when I'm, oh God, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm always just doing something, but I like to get things done because I'd like to have my own time as like outside of work too. So I don't want to be constantly working. So like, let me get everything done. So when I do need my time, I can have my time. But in the same time, it's like organized chaos. That's who I am. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm very good at working in that kind of structure. It gets me going. It keeps me moving and keeps me steady. And it works for me.
Yeah. And the team around you understand it.
Yeah, they're used to it. We're in the car today and I bring my laptop out and Beck's talking to me and I'm there like typing, and then I'm like, this is good behind the scenes content. You know that thing you want? Do the thing. But then I'm like, oh, email, oh, phone call, oh. But it's part of the life as well. Like PR, like media doesn't stop. So in some cases it's like you got to keep going.
You've got to be a little bit reactionary, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
So tell me about Kylie.
Kylie.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people that have they may have many Kylies in their life or a few Kylies, but they've found someone that does that, has that role. So how did it all start, and what were some of the big aha moments through Kylie?
So I was introduced to Kylie, what year are we in? We're in 2024. So it would have been like end of 2022. So I'd say like November 2022 through a friend. And Kylie is an intuitive healer, and she incorporates psychology and therapy tactics like Reiki and stuff. I've always been into like therapy, like I've always been to counselors and like psychologists and everything like that. But when I met Kylie, it was up my alley. I'm a little bit woo-woo and I love being a bit woo-woo. I'm very big into spirituality and like the universe, manifestation, everything like that. So she was speaking up my alley when we connected. And it started off with dealing with a lot of my trauma that came with my past relationship, because that's when we connected after that. And it came with a lot of inner child healing. It came with dealing with traumas that I had forgotten about, like that would come through. It came with building trust with myself. Came with guidance. Because it still happens till today. I see her all the time, but she also has a business background. So she brings in business stuff that I absolutely love, because she thinks of things that I don't think of. And I'm like, oh yeah, like, no joke, saw her yesterday and we're talking about accounting. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll talk to my accountant about that tomorrow, you know, like things like that. So I get like different things in one session, but a lot of it came with challenging narratives in my head, healing narratives that I had built out. It came with, you know, doing some energetic work and clearing some stuff that needed to be cleared. And a lot of it really came back down to just building a relationship with me. She gave me the confidence to actually finally step into my power, and she gave me the tools that I needed to actually get to know myself really, like real, not like surface level, like deeply. She gave me the confidence, well, she gave me the tool set as well to be able to have the confidence to actually date myself. And
I wanted to ask about that.
Yeah.
What's dating yourself look like?
Well, it was, and still till today, because I try and still do it, it came with doing a lot of things by myself and just getting used to my own company. And I don't know why beforehand I thought it was ever weird to go out for dinner by yourself or to take yourself on a weekend away or take yourself to the beach. For some reason, I always had a stigma attached to that. But it came with like, that's basically what I did. Journaled every night. I had a strict routine. I read books. Like I was meditating and taking time for myself every morning and afternoon. And I'd treat myself to things. I took my first solo trip like to Brisbane, which was so much fun. I ended up extending it a day and I had the best time by myself. Like it was taking myself to the beach for one day, something I'd never done, and just sitting on the beach, journaling and swimming and just enjoying my own company. It was, you know, what else did I do? I took myself to the movies. Like little things like that where you think it's normal, but apparently when you go to do it, it doesn't feel normal. And like you're like, oh my God, like what am I doing? Why am I so weird? People are going to think how weird it is, but that's where it is. It's the self-judgment.
Yeah.
And it's overcoming that. And when you overcome that self-judgment, it's actually really funny how like that little voice just kind of goes, because you become so used to just doing the things.
Yeah.
And then whatever anybody else might be thinking no longer matters. So yeah, that's what that looked like. And then it built like a sense of solidarity within myself.
I get that, right? You know, I think there'll be people listening to this that go, yeah, I'd find that a bit weird to go to the movies by myself or whatever. What's the conversation look like? You know, you and Kylie talking about that. What would be advice, for example, to someone else that says, yeah, like I'm struggling. I'm you know, I'm on the grind, I'm on the hamster wheel, you know, I'm, you know, just don't feel connected to myself. Like what would you need to go through in your opinion?
Well, it really depends. The first thing that I would say is like, are you enjoying it? Is that the life that you want to live? Or what is your motivation behind this? Like, do you have to work like this or are you choosing to work like this? They're probably the first questions that I would ask. Kylie would probably go somewhere else, but these are the questions that, for example, I would reflect on on myself.
Yeah.
Like if I know I'm killing myself in a day trying to tick off my to-do list, I'll sit there and go, does this all have to be done today? Is it urgent? Can some of this be done tomorrow?
Well, you highlighted the word choice before. You've used it again.
Correct.
So how does choice matter as an entrepreneur? How does choice matter as Cass?
For me, whether I'm as a business owner or just as me as a person, choice comes back to knowing that with the not everything needs to be done reactively. There's a choice to everything that you have. You don't have to be forced to do something. If you have the option to choose an option, choose it. Choose an alternative option. And it's really like it's really hard sometimes, especially when you're in the overthinking or in that hustle and you've got so much to do, to think that you have no choice. But if you take a step back for 5 seconds, even a minute, and you just sit there and you close your eyes and just get into like, you know, yourself for a minute, out of your head, into your body, and go, okay, like I'm back. Let's look at this with a fresh set of eyes, or go for a walk for 5 minutes, get yourself a coffee, then come back. You'll always see that there's an alternative way, whether that is your mindset, you're thinking something, and then whether it's imposter syndrome, for example, like, hold up. You don't have to think this way if you don't want to. Where's the narrative coming from? What is the story that you're telling yourself? Where's the evidence to prove it? If there is evidence supporting this, okay, well, what do you need to do to fix that? or to get ahead of that or to learn, whatever it might be. On the secondary aspect to that is, if there's no evidence supporting it, why believe it?
You're bullshitting yourself.
Correct. Like, one of my favorite things to do is like, and Kylie taught me this, is to write the narrative down or write it down, whatever it is you're thinking, and then do an alternative to that. What's the other possible outcome that might happen? Or what's the other possible choice you might have? And you can reflect on it and you'll quickly see that this actually doesn't matter. This is doesn't have any proof to it. And then you go, huh, okay, bye, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
And that's what choice is. Every day you wake up with the choice. You can either wake up and run your business or not. It's up to you. You could wake up and have that phone call that you've been putting off for a week and drive yourself even more insane thinking about it. Or you can just make the phone call, get it over and done with, and deal with whatever it is later. It's all a choice. You have the choice. If you want to spend more time with your family, make the time. There is a choice there.
Often people that are having trouble with that choice seeing the downside, right? So it's like, well, I want it to be the way I want it to be, you know, and you think about examples like, you know, letting go of a particular task and handing it over to a staff member and not being done well enough. So I want it to be done to a certain standard and I'm not going to let go until I know that's going to happen, but I'm never really setting it up for success, right? There's all these kind of, you know, spiraling kind of stories that feed into it.
Yeah.
So, what's an example for you where you've leaned into a choice that felt really uncomfortable but is now really paying off for you?
Hiring.
Hmm?
I'm a bit of a control freak. So, like, I usually like to be across everything and on everything and knowing that I've been across it all. And when I, last year especially, I went away for, like, my first holiday in ages, like years, like went to Europe for 3 weeks and time zone different, like I was out of my depth, but like time between the time zone differences, like things that happened on that popped up on that trip that I had no control over, like because you're asleep, everyone's awake, trusting people to do the work, communicate with clients, all that kind of stuff. It was a lot, and I really just had to learn to just let go and trust and be okay, because they're also experts. They also know what they're doing. They're trained. Be fine. And if something does pop up, you'll handle it. Like, it's not the end of the world. Like, I personally have this belief that I'm not a brain surgeon. So, like, look, unless it's like something out in the media that we really need to get on top of and it's high risk and everything, like, okay, cool. I'll put my risk hat on. No worries. We'll go through crisis comms. But it's all good. I've got the team is there. They can handle anything that comes their way. They don't have to operate on my level. I shouldn't expect them to operate on my level. And that was the whole thing. It was the expectation gap that I had, like between me and what I and my team, and make and dealing with that gap in between. And just, even though it was super uncomfortable until today, sometimes I'm still uncomfortable with it. I just have to be okay with it because I can't do it by myself. I don't want to run my, I've come to terms, I can't build a company without help. I can't be a human or like a daughter, a girlfriend, a granddaughter, a cousin, a godmother, and everything else, a friend. Like, I can't be all of those things unless I have help as well. So it's uncomfortable, but
yeah. But what's the alternative?
Well, exactly. Myself, I don't want to end up in hospital. I'm good. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to decrease my life expectancy. I don't want to kill myself to the ground because of a business. And I respect anybody that wants to do that. If that's your choice, go for gold. I don't want to live that way. Personally, I don't want to. So I make that choice, and it's to suit my lifestyle. It's to suit how I want to live. And some days I do work like I'm like to myself to the ground, and I accept that and I'm okay with that, but I still wouldn't be able to get through the rest of the days of the week without my team, no matter how uncomfortable as it might be. So I deal with that.
And those 3 week trips, they're a good test, aren't they? They get you.
Oh yeah, man. Oh, it really highlights like what your deep worries are. Let me tell you, brings it up. And it's even funnier when, you know, the last week when you're almost on the home stretch to get back home and your anxiety or your uncomfortable feelings rise that little bit more. But at the same time, it was actually a really great perspective because I had clients that I would be messaging saying to me, you're on a holiday, go back to like go back on holiday mode. We're all good. So it also highlighted to me like
they get it too.
They get it. They're humans. They understand. And, you know, you just need to have a trip. Do it. It's a really great way to also learn about holes in your business as well. I learned a lot about the holes in my business during that time too.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Actually, well, why don't we go there?
Yeah.
Because, well, the question I was going to ask, and maybe we can go to the holes, but one of the things I like to explore is you talked about discomfort, being things being uncomfortable. What's an example for you of something that was uncomfortable, but you're now getting to a place where it almost feels like second nature? It's really easy.
Running a business?
Or a lot easier.
I guess running a business.
Yeah, the overarching management of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like obviously as things grow and as things expand, you've got new challenges coming through, but I'm kind of sort of adjusting to the whole idea of like, you know, every day it comes with a new lesson or there's always something to learn or something new there. So I'm always learning and trying to get myself up to scratch so that I can run things in the right way, whether it's through having a meeting with my accountant to know what are the new tax things and how they're going to impact me, or if it's signing up to a TikTok course and learning about TikTok or whatever it might be.
But the big building blocks are in place.
Yeah, like it's constantly building blocks, like operations, for example. I suck at it, man. So it's always learning, what do I need to build? What is the gap? How do I fix that? Who's the right person? I can't do these things. I'm not logical. I need somebody who's logical, who can do this, finding the right person, hiring the right person, going through that process of hiring, learning, because sometimes you get burned, and it's always a thing. It's always learning, but it all comes back down to the structuring, and it's always evolving because I also change my mind like all the time. So if something's I thought was going to work one way and it didn't, I try and pivot as quick as possible to be able to go, okay, well, what else? What's our other options? And what do I need to do? And what do I need to set up to make sure it's right? And I'm still learning. I'm very young, and I'm not exactly like, I'm wise in ways, but I'm very like, I very much know where my strengths are and my weaknesses are. I'm a good leader, don't get me wrong, but I also do suck at running a business. But I'm learning to make sure that I can run it.
Yeah, self-awareness is such a powerful tool, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've said this quite a few times on this podcast, there's been people in this room that are, you know, in their 60s and later end of their, and they're always learning. You know, and they're always finding new gaps or trying to lean into their own vulnerabilities and improve things if they are, you know, that way inclined, right? Typically, right. If you're in this room, they are. But you talked about holes in your business. So at that moment, what were some glaring holes? You're like, okay, that's a hole. I'm learning from this. What's a practical example that you've had to solve and address?
Operations was a big one. No systems other than a Google spreadsheet, or multiple, I should say. So that was one big one. I learned a lot about how much my business relies on me as well. I think that out of all the gaps, that was my biggest one. Like communications wise, meetings from, you know, getting things done. I work quite fast, and my expectation gap was quite big. So I was expecting my staff to be as responsive to clients as I was, which isn't possible. So learning, it was a big learning process about how involved I am in the business. And it really taught me, like, if I want to be able to have another holiday in a couple of years' time or next year, whatever it might be, I really need to be okay with removing myself a little bit and letting the girls really take ownership and accountability as well for the clients. Yeah. So that those two were the biggest ones for me.
Yeah, it makes sense. The I know for me, a big learning was around giving people the tools to be able to do those things when I wasn't there. And I'm still working on it like you are most of the time. You're always finding new little gaps and things that you need to improve. But one for me was just meeting framework. I know it sounds really logical, but in my brain, like running a meeting was just obvious. You'd been doing it for years. You'd sit down, you'd have a structure. And then to pass that on and let go of it and say, you guys got to run it with, I'm not going to be here. I'm not turning up.
Right.
How are you? And this is not with clients, it's just internally to solve problems. Still a bit clunky from time to time, but that operationally is part of the growing pain, right? Yeah. Isn't it? It comes with, you know, bigger clients, more team. You know, if you don't organize how we work together, it can be pretty hard, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard because they also need to trust themselves to be able to do it. And that's a big thing I'm trying to teach at the moment. It's you can run a meeting, just have confidence. Like, and if you're not sure, just say, well, I'll speak to Cass and Cass will get back to you with an answer. That's the worst case scenario. And I think that comes with a lot of guidance. It comes with a lot of giving energy, like you giving structure for them to follow a template. But then it also comes with them getting to know the client too and the client trusting them as well. Because when you're so heavily involved in things, they trust you completely. But then when you're going, hey, here is Beck is coming in, for example, they're going to be like, oh, so do we talk to you or not? And then if you say no, they're going to like be like, oh, well, that's not what we want. So that's why I still try to stay involved in the conversations, but I trust my team to be able to like
connect the dots, manage it, do it.
Correct. I don't expect them to think like me or be like me or anything. Be yourselves. Just be okay as well to mess up and mess up. You're going to mess up. I mess up all the time in meetings. I just am very good at covering it up by saying, sorry, that was my brain being nuts. So you do what you're going
to
do.
You know what? Your clients mess up as well and they expect you to mess up occasionally, but I think what they also want is you to respond well and to deal with it. And to own it and to go and fix it.
Always take responsibility. That's all I care about. Just take responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. We have this conversation all the time. It's like, you know, we call it the broken leg principle.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, when you come and work for us, I ask a question at the start, which is let's say it's week 8 and you're in the job and you get a phone call.
Mm.
Someone's broken their leg in your family. Someone really important to you.
Yeah.
And they've broken their leg and they've got to go off to local hospital. You don't know how bad it is, but you know it's happening.
Oh my gosh.
What do you do? And, you know, for most people, the instinctive direction is, well, I'll go and see I'm going to look after my kid. And I said, 100%, I want you to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I actually want you to do that. But I also want you to realize that you can solve the problem.
Yeah.
So you can just pick up the phone and communicate with people that's happened.
Yeah.
And then you can pick up the next phone next day and say, oh, it's only going to be a day or it's going to be 6 weeks. I don't know. Mm. Who knows how bad it is?
Yeah.
The point is, it's just going to happen. And what we need as a team is the ability to deal with that.
Yeah, to work together.
And work together. Yeah. And from a client point of view, they want to see you on the front foot,
mm.
not just disappearing into a black hole.
Exactly.
And not being able to contact you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's simple etiquette, but yet in the moment when people go through those little freak out zones, that they freeze sometimes.
Yeah, freeze state.
So it's ensuring that it's okay, which is easier said than done, right?
Oh, yeah, big time. Look, especially when it comes to having to pick up the phone and take responsibility for something, it's hard. It comes with having to be very vulnerable with yourself and being able to admit that you screwed up. But if you can do it, it becomes the most powerful thing, especially if you're able to see like within that freeze state that there is another option available to you. It doesn't have to be dramatic.
Yes, yes. And usually it's better on the other side once you've done it too. Feels yeah. good. All right, so we're in, it's all on the home straight. It's been a really cool chat and there's so Thank much you. In your story that I think a lot of people will resonate with regardless of what field they're in.
Yeah.
Let's look at Cass in a few years' time.
Oh, gosh, okay.
So, you know, we sit down in 5 years.
Yeah.
What's important for us to see at that point and what do you think? Where do you think you'd like to be?
It's actually funny. I got asked this question a few days ago and it's so funny. I have a vision of who I would like to be in 5 years from now, but I don't hold myself to it because you can change so much in a short period of time. But all I do know is I'd like to be making a bigger impact and I'd like to be helping people on a deeper level. Whether that's through, I'd love to write a book one day and talk about my own journey of how I've had so many obstacles that could have stopped me from creating my life, not let me stop me from creating my life, basically. I'd love to be able to speak to more kids or teenagers who are being bullied to be able to help them through that so that they can come out on a better end of things. So I would love for that to be a part of my life. It has been in the past, but I'd love to step more into that aspect. But I can't tell you. That's all I know right now. And I am okay with that. I'd love to be able to obviously be a mom and have all those kind of things going in my personal life. But at this stage, it's like I am working on it. And I want to, all I know is I want to make a big impact, and that's it.
Yeah. And it's okay not to know what that looks like. It's just a case of knowing that's important to you.
Yeah. All I know is for the next 12 months, I know what I need to do. I know what my goals are, and I know what that looks like. And that's so important, especially for my team and my clients and everything like that. 5 years time, who knows? I'll be in my 30s. Life will be different. I'll have different responsibilities. So I don't know what that's going to look like. So I can't tell you. Like, for all I know, I could be in Europe living my best life. But my whole goal would, I'd love to be more of a speaker. I'd love to be an author, and I'd love to be helping people, not just from like a personal branding or media aspect, on a much deeper rooted scale as well. Yeah.
I have no doubt if you put your mind to it, this is all achievable, and you've already proven that. And that's, I think, the beautiful part about our discussion today. You know, there's a lot to be proud of. There's a lot you've achieved, and there's, you know, that doesn't come without the effort. And you talked about vulnerably, you know, working on yourself and working on the things that, you know, had you frozen and stayed frozen in COVID, we wouldn't be here today.
Definitely.
You know, and so I admire that. And for someone who kicked off an agency of the nature you have at 22 years old, to achieve so much in such a time and to do it so early is really impressive. So who knows where you'll be, but I think it'd be cool to go and have a catch up then at some point.
Yeah, we'll put it in the calendar 5 years from now.
We'll throw it in there and we'll see where you are. Any final comments for the audience?
Okay, my final comment would be is do not be afraid to ask for help. We live in a very stoic society, and vulnerability, I feel like, it's starting to kind of finally become mainstream, but it's okay to ask for help if you need help, whether it's your business, personal, whatever it might be. Get help if you're unsure. There are people out there who are experts in doing things. Get the help that you need in order to be able to do things. It will save you time, energy, and money. And at the end of the day, time is, in our way, our worst enemy, but our biggest asset. It goes whether you like it or not. So invest in that wisely. And, you know, if you are sitting on an idea, get up and do it, because I promise you, like, you'll either regret it later, or it will work out really, really well if you do give it a go, because failure is also an option. That's my final words. I know that was a lot of words, but they're my final words.
Cass, you're a star. I love it. No, that's exactly what probably the direction, particularly around time. It's all we have.
Yeah,
you know, it is. And so get a chance to use that choice you talked about before. Yeah. We will let you run, Cass. Off to Friday. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you for having me on. It was a great chat.
It's awesome. I'll see you soon.
Thanks.